Paul Sweeney, bring in our next guest here. He's written an essay, which is sort of like, you know, it's so 1960s.
Exactly.
You know, it's like a throwback moment.
It's a topic we don't talk probably enough about, which is just unions and unions in the United States and kind of the state of unions.
With GM going on now.
Exactly right. So Chris Opfer from Bloomberg Law joins us to talk about kind of what's going on with the National Labor Relations Board. I think they're getting together to kind of take a look at how union elections take place. What's going on?
They are. I think the NLRB is a good example of, you know, with all the chaos going on in Washington right now, here's an agency that not a lot of people have heard of that's just putting its head down and really cranking out a lot of policy that's going to have a big impact on businesses and workers, including those who are not in unionized workplaces. The latest move is related to unionized workplaces. It has to do with union elections. And the chairman, John Ring, a Republican, recently announced that they're going to peel back an Obama-era rule that the critics, particularly in the business community, had tagged as the ambush election rule, which basically sped up union elections. And from the critic point of view, it allowed unions to sort of get all their ducks in order, spring an election on somebody, and have the election forced to be held 3 weeks, two weeks later.
Has that been happening? Have we seen those kind of quick elections to try to drive union membership?
Yes, it's interesting. The in the 6 years or so since that rule came into effect, it shrunk. The average time has shrunk from 38 days from petition to election to 23 days. But what's really interesting is that the win rate hasn't changed. Unions are still winning about 70% of those elections, and that hasn't changed under the new rule.
Why do they lose those elections? What is the attribute within all the research, the hundreds of elections? What's the attribute where the union loses?
A couple of things, I think. So I think the win rate is so high because in many cases the union's not going to call for an election if they don't think they have a really good shot at winning.
Well said.
Why they lose, and Volkswagen I think is a good example of that, is that they're sort of going for the gusto here, giving it a shot, trying to rally their members, thinking, okay, if we don't get it done here in Volkswagen, there are other auto plants in the South that we want to organize, and we want to get this ball rolling. It's not the end of the fight.
So, Chris, just let's pull back a little bit and take a look at union membership in the U.S. overall. If you think back to maybe, just at least in my mind, the peak might have been the 50s or 60s or something like that. Where are we right now in union membership, and how are the trends going?
The trend's going down, both in the public sector and in the private sector. On the public sector side, the unions have maintained about a third, I think, of public sector workers are currently unionized, whereas in the private sector, I believe the latest numbers are somewhere around 12% or something like that. So steadily declining over the years, a number of factors that you can point to. The rise of right-to-work states, which allow people who are in unionized situations to not have to pay union dues if they don't want to be a part of the union, has certainly contributed to that. Union advocates will point to a wide range of changes in the laws and how those things are applied. And then, of course, there's changes in the industry. There's not as many people working on a factory line. It's a lot more white-collar jobs that unions are still trying to get a foothold in.
Yeah, Chris, you're steeped in this. What is your take for our audience on the GM strike? I've been thunderstruck by David Welch in the litany of accusation and actual legal work on the modern UAW. But what's your take on it from a more regulatory legalistic standpoint?
It's a perfect storm in that, you know, it's a company that a lot of people know. It's a fight that a lot of people can understand pretty easily.
Yeah.
And it comes at the same time where the UAW has been hit with all kinds of criminal charges being alleged about upper level management engaging in some pretty bad embezzlement activity. And so you can sort of choose your poison. If you are an anti-union person and you want to point to corruption, you got that. If you're a union person, you want to point to GM playing hardball, you can point to that. I think in the end, we're going to have to look at how long does this take to shake out? How much does it cost the workers who are on the front line there who are not getting paid right now? And does that have a chilling effect on workers elsewhere who are thinking about, do I go out on strike?
It is so far from another time and place. Chris Opfer, thank you so much with Bloomberg Law here on an American institution.